we will decide according to what we love. Right? Where your treasure is, there will be your heart. So what is it that's your treasure? Because that's what you will choose, that's where your heart will be. The person who treasures things like money, that will be what they do. And everything else will fall into line according to money. Or the person who sets up another person as an idol, whether it's a child, a spouse, a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. A person who sets up another person as an idol in their life, that will be what determines all that they do. Now, we don't have to think about that. That's the problem. We don't have to think about that. Let's say that I'm a parent and my child is my idol. And that happens a lot. A lot of parents live in idolatry to their children. And anything that little Johnny wants, little Johnny gets. Anything that surrounds little Johnny's, God forbid anything should touch little Johnny's emotions. Right? Because then the world comes to an end. Anything that little Johnny wants, or anything that little Johnny seems to need, or little Johnny has the sniffles, therefore the whole family cannot, whatever. You know, little Johnny's an idol, and he's from, right now you're treating him as a demon. That's from hell. Satan is using little Johnny in your life when that happens. We have to be extremely careful not to do that. And like I said, parents do that a lot. And they do it with good motives, but their motives are not necessarily the right motives, or spiritual, or godly, or whatever. They are earthly and according to natural affections. Little Johnny does not determine anything. Money does not determine anything. A relationship does not determine anything. Convenience definitely does not determine anything. How convenient was it for Christ to come from heaven and die on the cross? That was decisively inconvenient. Right? He didn't have to, like, imagine if God had a problem with materialism. Why in the world would he come down to earth? Right? That makes like no sense. What if I have a problem like that? Why in the world would I make decisions for God? I wouldn't. And I wouldn't actually even have to think about it. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. What does that mean? That means that where your treasure is, that's where your frame of reference is. And the decisions that I make on the basis of my frame of reference. And I don't even have to think about that frame of reference. I just consider the decision, there's my frame of reference. How does the decision line up to my frame of reference? Yes or no? There's my decision. Okay, if I'm someone who has something as an idol and something of God, let's say simply coming to church. Coming to church does not line up with my idol. I'm not going to come to church, I'm going to go for my idol. But God said, gather together much more as you see the day approaching. Church after church in this country does not have that happening. Why? Because people live in idolatry. Plain and simple. People live in idolatry. Now, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about lifestyle. As a lifestyle, I respond to God. But if my treasure is not my Savior, if my treasure is something else, then as a lifestyle, I will respond to something else. And I'll fit God in if it's convenient. I'll fit God in if I can afford to. I'll fit God in if it doesn't challenge anything. I don't have time for God this morning. I don't have time to be obedient to the Word of God. I don't have time to respond to the Holy Spirit. I've got this other detail. There's your treasure. That's your treasure. What is it that's your treasure? That will be your frame of reference. And you will live your life according to your frame of reference. Plain and simple. If it's money, you will live your life according to whatever serves your money. Isn't it funny? Whatever serves your money. Because that's how it is. If it's a person, you will live your life according to whatever serves that lust pattern. If it's a child, you will live your life according to whatever serves that child in your perception. Now, with children, that's particularly dangerous. Because then it's not just yourself that you're influencing, then it's the next generation and the generation after. Because if you train up a child in the way he should go, he won't depart from it when he's old. Train up the child that the child is the center of the universe, and he will not depart from it when he is older. And that will be one maladjusted kid. And challenges will come, and the kid won't be able to handle them. Things that are normal to most people will be overwhelming to that kid. Why? You train them up in the way they should go. Now they won't depart from it. Problem is, then they'll also train up their kids that way. Okay, there's your third or fourth generation effect. That's dangerous stuff, folks. We deal with it here all the time. And I'm not saying you folks here are beautifully faithful, but I mean in this location, in this region, this area. Right? I mean, how many churches do you see out there where people are coming to church when it's convenient? People are tithing when it's convenient. People are soul winning only if it's convenient, and it never seems to be. Right? That's why there's only a handful of churches in the area that actually soul win, and there's a church on every corner. Why? Because it's just not convenient. The treasure is not right. The treasure is not right. When there's something like that going on in my life, the treasure is not right. Plain and simple. Treasure is off the mark. Why? Because then the frame of reference isn't right. If the frame of reference isn't right, the decisions are shot. Okay? That is going to determine my life. My life is made up of only a small number of things. It's made up of the things that I respond to from God. It's made up of how I think, and it's made up of the decisions I make. And the three are intimately connected. So if I'm not responding to if I'm not receiving from God, there's no possible way for me to respond to the things that I've received from God. And if I'm not receiving from God on a regular basis, then my life is shot right there. Okay, if a person has issues they're dealing with in their life, and they're not a person who habitually, daily gets built up in the Word of God, that's their problem right there. Solve that problem, you solve your issues. Okay, but if I get built up, if I hear the Word, and I don't respond to the Word because of pride or whatever, unbelief, whatever, and that's a form of pride. If I don't respond to the Word, there's my problem right there. Okay? If I respond to the Word, but I don't mix faith with what I hear to the point where it becomes my frame of reference and I have issues in my life, that's my problem right there. If it's my frame of reference for most things, but it is not the treasure of my heart, whereby that is the foundation that determines yea or nay, then that's my problem right there. Okay, anywhere along the continuum of those three things is where all of my problems will be found or resolved. If I have those three things in order, then I have very few problems. I may be challenged by things, circumstances, whatever, but because I know how to think, because I've received from God, because I have the right frame of reference, even the times when I'm challenged, it won't be challenging. How do you know what to do? People frequently ask pastors, and this group is very good this way, because Pastor Stevens has taught us this. How do we know what to do? By knowing how to think. Learn how to think, you know what to do. Simple as that. However, one believer after another don't know how to think because they're not serious about the Word of God. I like what God told you, and you've said this publicly many times. God said to you, get serious about my word. Take my word seriously. Why? What happens if I don't take God's word seriously? My life will never be right. And nothing in my life will be right. Even if outwardly I can manage to conform it to some sort of a religious appearance, it still won't be right. Why? Because the heart is all wrong. Isn't that what the problem was with the Pharisees? Outwardly they got it all right, but the heart was all wrong. And so God said, you're a bunch of whitewashed sepulchers, but inside you're filled with dead men's bones. You have no life, though your appearance is fine. That's what the problem with the Laodicean church is. The appearance is one of being blessed, but in truth it's dead and desolate. Folks, if you don't have those things in your life, you won't have the right priorities. None of us will. It's not possible. Okay, if I don't have those things in my life, I will not have the right priorities. If I don't have the right priorities, I won't have the right decisions. God is not winking. God did not die on the cross to let me piddle around in a sandbox. That simple. Now, if I have those things correct in my life, is it? Can I do other? Of course, you can. Nobody says you can't go to college. We got plenty of people going to college, and not just Bible college, but secular college. Nobody says you can't do that. Nobody says you can't get certain types of jobs. Nobody says you can't invest in your children. On the contrary, invest, but invest correctly. I have a job, but have it correctly. Get an education, but get it correctly. It's not that the things themselves are non-issues. The things themselves are just things. Now, whether or not they promote the kingdom or hinder it, that's really up to the condition of my heart. So it's not that I can't anything. But the question is, where is my treasure? If the Savior is my treasure, then I won't make the wrong choices. Period. A person who makes the wrong choices does so because they have the wrong treasure. Period. So let's do it. It's really very, very simple. I was trying for medical school. I was getting letters saying, come to our medical school. It would have been so easy to do that. Except there was one problem. I would have had to sacrifice the call. And because the treasure was right in that area of my life, it was a no-brainer. I didn't have to think about it. I knew it was wrong. It was a no-brainer. If the treasure's right, decisions aren't really hard. If the treasure's right, decisions are as simple as they can be. The problem that I have as a believer, what makes things hard, is when the treasure becomes clouded and replaced. And on the one hand, intellectually I know I should, but the treasure is not there in my heart because I have some religious information, but no heart transformation. Where things get complicated is when the flesh starts to get in the way. If the flesh doesn't get in the way, things are unbelievably simple. God didn't make me to make things hard for me. God made me to respond to Him and have things be very straightforward, very simple. I mean, think about it. Why would Christ die if He was going to make things complicated? Why would the Holy Spirit be given to make things complicated? But doesn't the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit leads us in all truth? So, when I stop listening to the Spirit and I start listening to the flesh, all of a sudden decisions are just not that clear. Well, of course not. You've mucked them up. But when I have the right treasure, and I don't try to stick my flesh in there, decisions are as easy as can be. But people will say, and they'll say it, and they'll tell themselves, this is reasonable. But what about this important detail? Who said it was important? Well, what about Johnny? Johnny is important, isn't he? No. Johnny's not important at all. Whosoever does not hate his mother and his father and his brethren and his sisters and his whatever else, compared to the way that they think of God, is not fit for the kingdom. No, Johnny's not important. Not in that regard. But Johnny's going to be upset. Good. Build some character in Johnny. Teach Johnny to get some guts instead of being a pansy who gets swayed by everything. Who can't stand at the slightest little obstacle. Who can't think through the slightest little problem. Simple. Give Johnny some character and Johnny will be a man when he grows up. But the way that too many believers, and you know, we're all guilty of it in one way or another, but the way that too many believers go about things, man, Johnny's going to be a little sissy. Why do you think this country's in the shape it is? Right? Why? It was amazing. The other day I go to the Radio Shack to buy a battery, and this little 16-year-old girl pulls out a $100 bill to buy an iPod. Says, oh, I just got to have it. No, you don't. Why are you wasting $100 on something so stupid? You can get one of those for $10. Oh, but it won't be the label. I mean, if you can get an iPod for $10, fine. But $100 at 16? That's a 16-year-old doing with a $100 bill. Because I'll guarantee you, she didn't get it from McDonald's. She got it from mom and dad, just throwing money around like it's going out of season. You know what? Have the right treasure. And whatever problems you may happen to have, there's your solution. Have the right treasure. Because otherwise, forget it. Otherwise, we're just playing tiddling. Otherwise, we're no different than the world. Why even have religious pretense? Because the only person we're fooling at that point is ourselves. So, let's have the right treasure. Because anything else is a waste of time, frankly. May as well just go home to be with the Lord. Right? I mean, if we're not going to have the right treasure, why even be here? It's much better in heaven. Why even be here? So, we need to, like, if you want to, if you, young people, if you want your life to count, if you want your life to have real meaning, have the right treasure. I'm in high school, right, and I see these kids over and over and over and over, and they don't know how to think to save their life. They can think their way out of a paper bag. It's ridiculous. And the girls are just flip-flopping over the boys, and the boys are just like, oh, it's so cool, I got me a chick. You're an idiot. Put your pants on. Instead of dragging around your knees. It was so funny. I was at the MVA the other day, and you get this guy with the pants coming down, and he was sitting there going lower and lower and lower. It was really, he had a really quick pull up. That's my heart out. So, well, what did you think is going to happen, you idiot? They go on over your butt, not under it. Why even wear pants? Yeah. What, keep your knees warm? Oh. Anyway, I forgot how we got. Oh, good comment. Thank you. Let's get started.